back in 1994, the City of Perth and the WA government commissioned Jan Geel, a world-renowned Danish architect, to undertake a study of the public spaces and public life of Perth today. 15 years on, the man is back because he's been asked to revise that earlier study and give us a new view of public spaces and public life in Perth. I'm delighted that that Jan Geel is in the studio. Happy to take your calls too this morning. Jan, hello to you.
Thank you very much.
Now, let's not talk about 1994. Let's go back to the 1970s. You've been coming here for a long time.
Yes. Actually, my first time I came to know Perth was in 1978 when I was a visiting professor in Netherlands at the University of Western Australia in the architecture department.
Yes.
2 years before, I were in Melbourne and met somebody from Western Australia who invited me out here. And that was the start of a series of studies I have conducted with students and with other people, professionals here in Perth. So I have come to know and love Perth quite a bit.
What did you see in 1978?
What I did see at that point was not very different from what I saw in 1993 when I was commissioned to work professionally with the city. I saw a city which was quite lively at day and completely deserted at night. I saw a city which was very compartmentalized. You have fun over here, you have culture here, you have government here, you shop here, and you work here, and don't mix it, my friend, and forget about living in the city. Living is done not in cities, it's done out in the bush.
Yes.
That was a city which were characteristic of the 70s, and it was the same city which we met in 1993. But in the meantime, in various cities around the world, all this, I would say, old-fashioned way of separating the various functions of the city into specific districts, and also of completely abandoning a city at night.
Yes.
That was not how cities were built in the old days. And as these ideas, which are actually ideas which comes from the modernistic movement of the 30s, which had a great influence in the rebuilding of the European cities after the Second World War, and also came to have a strong influence on all the Australian cities in their boom periods after the war.
Yes.
So I would almost say that Perth was a perfect Le Corbusier city where everything was separated.
Yes.
But in other parts of the world, these ideas of the 1930s started to be strongly contested. And we saw one city after the other trying to do whatever they can to become a real city, a real 24-hour city, and a real city which to me is a city where functions are mixed, that you have housing, you have students, you have shopping, you have offices, you have workshops, you have retail and whatever. It is sort of mixed because people like to meet other people of various professions and various stages in life. None of us wants to have all the old here and all the children there and
yes.
all the young there and whatever. And so we have seen cities all over the world changing in this period. And also Perth needed a change. And that was what we started we documented how it was, and we put out a number of recommendations. Why not do this, this, and this? That was what we did.
Okay, so you came in 1978, you reported in 1993 and didn't see that much had happened, and I'm almost worried about your answer. 16 years on, how much more has happened? What do you see when you see Perth in 2009?
Certainly, quite a few things have happened. And the report we have made and the speak I'm going to give tonight about
yes.
the findings will have numerous big and small improvements made to the city of Perth in these 15 intervening years. One of the things which is quite nice is that when you go through Perth today, it's twice as lively as it was 15 years ago.
Yes.
You'll meet twice as many people, and many of them will be sitting on cafes, of which there are three times more than there were.
Yes.
Because also lifestyles are changing, economy is changing, and the way we use our cities and our life is changing. People have much more leisure time now. That is also because we become older and older.
Yes.
And so in life, we have more leftover time. We also have better economy, and we have seen and heard about nice places. Actually, many of us, if we can, we try to go on holiday to nice places. And then cities all over the world have got the good idea, why not produce the nice places where you are and where you work, so you can have a nice time every day and don't have to go to Bali to find a nice place and a nice time. And we can see the cappuccino culture or the cafe latte culture spreading all over the world, and also in Perth. That's just a sign of some change in society that we want what also has happened in societies are we are getting more privatized lives. We have our little house and our little car and our little office and then private secretary, private wife, private computer, everything privatized.
Yes.
So the public component, our contact with society, is diminishing.
Yeah. Hence the importance of creating better community spaces for people.
Exactly. And what we see worldwide is that when these spaces are becoming better, we see people come flocking in the hundreds to enjoy each other and society. Because the greatest interest of human beings have throughout history been human beings.
You're listening to Professor Jan Geel, the Danish architect of considerable renown, who has been asked on several occasions for his views on this city of ours. What are your thoughts? 1-300-222-720. If you'd like to pose a question to Jan, he'd be happy to hear from you. And just to let you know that Jan Geel will be addressing a public meeting in Perth Town Hall this evening to deliver his report on the direction in which this city is heading. Are you frustrated that we are unable to reconcile city and river, that we are still not comfortable with our relationship between city and river?
Yes, you're actually addressing what we are to do in the next 15 years. I mentioned last time that this city has a fabulous setting. It's got a river on two sides. It's got the fabulous King's Park just to one side. And still, you could spend a full fortnight in Perth without realizing it's a river city. And it has this park because it's cut off with a freeway. And the city has not really started to address the waterfront. All over the world, we can see that cities are more and more focused on amenities, of something special. And if anything could make Perth special in the world, it could be as one of the most wonderful riverside cities of the world. And luckily, you have still this opportunity. And I see as number one challenge and key to future success is let this river go and kiss its waters. And let the people of the city come down to the waters. Because it's obvious today when we study the pattern of moving in Perth city center, there's very few movements down towards the water. In all other cities with river fronts, that's where all the movements are.
Yes.
And when that is, when the river the city starts to walk down towards the river, you'll see much more vitality. We can have many more residents in the city. This city is still has very, very few residents.
Yeah. Is it still?
I think that in Melbourne they have 10 times more per hectare, Sydney 10 times more per hectare, Copenhagen 10 times more per hectare. Here, very few per hectare.
In some ways, it's still the blank canvas you saw all those years ago.
Yeah, in some aspects. But improvements have been made. One of the things which I'm very happy about, that is one of the recommendations from 15 years ago. I said, widen all your sidewalks and put in street trees, have more room for sidewalk cafes and benches. All this has been done, and it has completely changed the city, the visual quality, because now you have all these wonderful trees, and it's a leafy and green city, much nicer than it was 15 years ago.
A lot of people want to talk to you. 1-300-222-720. We have a plethora of Pauls. Good morning, Paul, number one.
Oh, good morning, Jeff. Jeff, criticism I have for Perth as a person who works in the terrace is that there's not enough green spaces to eat your lunch. There's only Supreme Court Gardens and Central Park, and you go there at lunchtime and they are so lively. But apart from that, for a workforce of 110,000, they're very crowded, and not everyone wants to sit on a cafe chair, and I just think we need more green spaces. And the second point, in terms of the population of residential population, really the city of Perth needs to provide some sort of amenity, recreation centres and those type of things, because those facilities are still out in the suburbs.
Yeah, Paul, you raised some very good points. The importance of green spaces. You'll be aware that the Northbridge rail link is going to finally occur and be sunk and create an opportunity for more pedestrian access and green space. We always say green spaces are the lungs of a city. Do we need to do better here?
Certainly green spaces are very important. I do think that there should be quite many, and they should not be too huge, any of them.
Yes.
Along the waterfront, there are some spaces which are enormous, many, many football fields. And actually, most people like spaces to be more human scale. So pocket parks, smaller parks, more intimate spaces can work many times, often better than huge tracts. And in my vision for the future of Perth, I can see a lot of green spaces and grey spaces and promenades and squares and playgrounds developing along the waterfront. And that's where the people of St. George Terrace, all 110 of them, 10,000 of them, in the future would go down for lunchtime, I'm sure, and there would be ample, fantastic spaces.
Paul, number two, good morning.
I'm not sure if I'm Paul number two.
You are Paul. I should never. Every time I do that, it just creates confusion. I'm sorry.
I'm going to take number two spot. I agree with our Danish friend. I've lived abroad for the last 22 years and just come home now, and I'm amazed at the lack of development on our river frontage, and that little spot down by the Barrack Street jetty and Riverside Drive and all along there. We do seem to have a habit of putting roads along our best parts of the river, forgetting even the freeway, but I think Perth is crying out for development where all those people that do work in the city and even the tourists, they can go down and they can have a coffee, they can do, even have a drink, God forbid. But I just think I'm not sure why we're so protective. I'm not saying we want to turn it into a surface paradise or anything stupid like that, but just have a facility where we can go down and actually enjoy the view and enjoy the river, which I think we're missing out in a big way there.
Paul, thank you. That point is a very interesting one, and the previous government, I'm sure you know all this, the previous government had a very ambitious waterfront plan, and where I think it fell over with the community was it also depicted huge buildings right on the water, but they were only artist drawings of what a building might look like, but we looked at it, a lot of people looked at it and said, oh, I hate that. So the project has disappeared quite quickly. Do you think, Jan, that Perth people are anxious about development, anxious that something beautiful might somehow be spoiled?
I'm quite sure. And I can certainly understand the reluctance to accept the first plan right away, because it was a vision. It was very much some architect's visions, and I had the fear that some of the architects had more fun in their studios than the people would ever have on the waterfront.
Yes.
And I'm involved in waterfront projects in a number of places. We're about to turn Fisherman's Wharf in San Francisco all around,
yeah,
because it works very poorly by now. It has not been upgraded for 30 years, and it's sinking under the weight of tourists and not too good. We are working on the harbourfront in Oslo, Norway, where they have a brilliant plan, which is as a plan should be. They started to say, we have a wonderful waterfront. How can we ensure that this waterfront becomes something for all our citizens?
Hmm.
What would people in the 21st century want to do by the water? And the next question was, what kind of spaces would we need along the waterfront to be sure that there would be room for these people, that there will be parks and promenades and cafes and aquatic sports arrangements and kayaking and whatever. So, and as question number three, what buildings do we actually need down there to support these spaces? So instead of starting with the buildings and having and see what is left over when the buildings have been flown in,
yes,
and then start to see if that would be suitable for people, they start the other way and say, what is good for people? Where can the spaces be? And how can we build the buildings so they support the public spaces where all of them in Oslo, Norway can come down and enjoy? This is the kind of vision I do have also for Perth. And this is how we do in Oslo. And this is how we can do in Perth also.
I think lots of people will come to the town hall tonight to hear you speak. I wonder if Coral will be there, because I think she likes things as they are. Hello, Coral.
No, you really don't know me very well then. No, my opinion is that what I'm terrified is that they will just bulldoze down the whole lot, and it'll be, just a whole lot of shops and everything down there. When I came home, and I'm in my 70s now, and I've travelled back and forth to Europe a lot, and Perth has still got a lovely, fresh appearance about it. My contention is, if they want to do something, I would do the cafes further back nearer the road. Don't ask me. It's not Riverside Drive. It's the next one back, closer to their offices, and develop that, but leave still a lovely big open area that people, if they want to, can come down with their children and, or just themselves, they have a picnic out on the lovely lawn there, but don't overcrowd with all these buildings like you see commonly overseas, that you've got to go down different alleyways to get to another cafe and all that. That would wipe out Perth's beauty of the river.
Coral, thank you very much. Well, Coral's point then is to protect. She loves the green spaces and wishes to protect the green spaces near the river. There are a lot of green spaces.
And certainly a lot of it should be protected. And the coming waterfront, riverfront of Perth should have a great number of parks. But the thing is, which makes parks work better, is that they are not too big, and that there will be people living around them, so that they will be safe in the evening and in the Saturdays. And also, there's a number of cities out there which have done really well. The waterfront of Toronto has this mixture of various different things, but lots of green space in between, because parks and green space and gardens, wonderful gardens, are part of a recreational life of the 21st century, but so is promenading and bicycling,
yes,
and walking with your family. So there's a number of things people do today in these kind of places, and we shall make different offers to different groups and mix them. That gives a very attractive waterfront.
You also talked about the need for people to walk in these parks to make them safe places, and that's what Raymer wants to talk about, safety in the city. Hi, Raymer.
Oh, not quite that, Jeff.
Raymer, I'm being misinformed this morning.
Yes, I went to a concert in Perth on Sunday. Perth is absolutely deadly in the evenings. My suggestion is that you wipe out Northbridge and stagger the Northbridge facilities somewhere in the centre of the city, because they bundle them all over there so that they thought they could control it. And I think they'd have more control if these places were put individually into the centre of the city.
Raymer, thank you. And I'm sorry I did rather misinterpret your call.
But I understood the notion that, say, 15 years ago, all drinking and nightlife was concentrated in a very little area. And I was told it was so that police could better sit on top of them and prevent them from doing mischiefs. But all healthy cities do have its nightlife spread out over the city,
yes,
so that there are cafes and corner stores and hotels open in all city districts. And in these 15 years, between then and now, there has been a very healthy spreading of things. So more places have come to life at night in Perth, but Perth still has a serious, serious problem that there are hardly any people living in the city center.
Mm.
So we have recommended very strongly that the next 15 years we shall concentrate on getting more residents into the city, getting more student accommodation, getting more student teaching facilities, because students also provide valuable inspiration and life to a city towards making it a 24-hour city. Students doesn't go to bed that early, things like that. And I pointed that the obvious place to have these new concentrations would be towards the rivers,
yes,
to the east and to the south of the city. And I'm sure that if this can succeed, we'll have a fantastic different city and a much safer city 15 years from now.
And that interesting thing that,
and much more delightful.
And people speak of feeling more safe in Melbourne at night than they do in Perth. And one of the reasons is there are so many more people around you the whole time, eating dinner, walking, being with friends, going to the theatre. You feel that you're not alone walking down a dark street, which you often are in Perth. And the idea, if there's one thing I'd love to see happen in the time I live here, is a university campus moved into the city for exactly those reasons.
You have four brilliant campuses, all safely placed 10 kilometers away at least. But I see some of them have started to move in, which is very good. I happen to know Melbourne very well because I was also the advisor for the change of Melbourne.
Yes.
And just when we heard it, just to mention that Perth is not the only city in the world. We are also working in just now in New York very much. And we close Broadway this Monday to make it a much more people-friendly place.
Yes.
And that is in Times Square. They are making now a big public space. Instead of having through traffic on Broadway, they closed it, and they're going to turn a big chunk of Broadway into a town square. So they have actually working in cities all over the world to make them more friendly to pedestrians and also to bicyclists. We call it green mobility.
Mm.
And we know we have to do quite a bit about greening the cities and reducing the pollution and the footprint and making more sustainable cities. So all over the world, cities are now working along these lines, and that is where also Perth is now walking with great steps forward.
Do you know what? I reckon we're lucky to have you here. given the amount of projects you work on in so many different places, I think we're lucky to have the benefit of your experience, and I think you have hopefully we'll start applying the paint to that canvas to create something very beautiful, even more beautiful here. Jan Giel, it's been great having you on the show. Professor Jan Giel, and Jan will be delivering his findings to a public meeting at the Perth Town Hall this evening if you want to get along and see that, and I strongly recommend that you do.